Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I want to welcome you to attend church services this Sunday. All this week, I have been talking about religion, and I know there's this sentiment out there. A lot of people say, well, I can just worship God wherever I am. I can worship God while I'm hunting. I can worship God while I'm fishing. I can worship God while I look at the sunset. I don't need church. I don't need religious practices. And I hope as we've looked at all of the religious practices that God taught his people to do in the Bible, that it would become clear that religious practices are helpful for us. They are wise. They give us structure. They encourage us to think about God. They draw us close to God. Do you have to be doing some kind of formal religious activity to worship God? No. I believe you absolutely can worship God while you're fishing and hunting and watching the sunset. There's no issue there. I do think, though, that over the course of your life, if you do not have religious habits and practices in your life, you're not going to have as deep a spiritual relationship with God as if you do. And so therefore, I think it is wise if you recognize that the goal of life is what God says the goal of life is, which is to know him and love him and be in his presence, enjoy his love, bring glory to him in your life. That's what life is primarily about. That should be our goal. That is how the Bible measures success. That's how we have true peace and joy. So if you want that, then you should want to have religious practices in your life because that's the wisdom God gives in his word. So that extends to church services. God has a number of things to say about fellowshipping with other believers, about hearing the teaching and preaching of God's word on a regular basis, about meeting with other believers so that you can encourage one another. And so that is one of the religious practices that the Bible specifically teaches, not just for the Jewish people, but for all of those who are seeking to follow God. So if you have a church you know of where the Bible is taught, then by all means go there this Sunday. If you don't, I don't know how far you might be from us, but we would always love to have you at Fairfax First Baptist Church for our 11 o'clock service. And then I also preach at the 9 o'clock service in Luray at Beach Branch Baptist Church. And I would love to be able to meet you at either of those services. The number to call if you have a question about our church is 803-943-8237. That's 943-8237. Well, I'm going to read a few other verses here in Matthew chapter 23 to sort of finish out our topic this week. Jesus says in verse 25, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." And this fits in with the theme of what we've looked at the whole week, that the Pharisees had religious practices when it came to washing their cups. And for the Pharisees, it was not about hygiene. It wasn't about making sure that, you know, your plates and dishes were sanitized. It had to do with following some of the purity laws in Leviticus. So they had some extra traditions about washing a cup to make sure that it was clean in the sense of viewing the meal as a religious time, that you're fellowshipping with God in a sense. And so you've prepared yourself by even washing the outside of the cup, in sort of almost like a baptism for cups. It's like a religious event, not a sanitizing event. And this was a tradition they had developed. And Jesus does not condemn this tradition. Jesus does not say we have to follow this tradition. But if this is something that could help you really focus on setting apart a time to think about God while you're eating, you know, I don't do it, but if it helped you in that way, go for it. You know, that religious practices are not harmful if they're done with that motive. But what the Pharisees are doing is they're not even worried about cleaning the inside of the cup. And this is sort of a way of Jesus saying, this is how you're doing all of your traditions. You know, it's it's not that they literally are not cleaning the inside of the cup, but I think Jesus is using this as an example of you're not cleaning your inner heart. You worry about the outside so much. You worry about the ritual. You worry about this outward action that's become a habit in your life that you now enforce on everyone else, and you tell everyone else you've got to do this also or else, and you're not really even thinking about the intention and purpose. You're not even thinking about how it's going to help you or others worship God. You're using it simply to divide yourself off from who you want to look down on and judge as the non-religious, and you want to get their attention. You want them to think, oh, look how religious that person is. And so inside, you're not really worshiping God. You have religion, but you don't have spirituality. You see, I started off this week by saying a lot of people today are saying I'm spiritual but not religious. And I've critiqued that a little bit. I've said, you know what, we should be both spiritual and religious. But you know what, I think from Jesus' point of view, it's better to be spiritual and not religious than it is to be religious and not spiritual. You see, the purpose of religion is to drive your spirituality, is to drive your connection with God, is to help you deepen that relationship with God. If it's serving any other purpose, then it gets in the way and becomes a problem. And so Jesus goes on to say, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Oh, that is a statement that we should be fearful of, that Jesus might ever say about our religious practices. The Pharisees would literally take care of the tombs of the Jewish people that were buried in the cemeteries of Jerusalem. And so they would whitewash them. They would make them all shiny and clean. And they'd say, look, we're taking care of the cemetery. We're taking care of these tombs. But yet, of course, we know that that doesn't do anything to defeat death and the ugliness of death that is inside the tomb. And Jesus used this as a picture to say, look, you have all these outward religious practices. Inside, you're dead. So I hope what you take away from what we've looked at this week is that for Jesus, the number one thing is your heart, that you love God from your heart, that you recognize that the goal of life is to glorify God, that God loves you, and that God has sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can know God. It's not about I get to go to heaven when I die. It's about I can have a relationship with the living God. But that doesn't mean that we can't also be religious. I don't think you need to say I'm spiritual but not religious. I don't think we need to say Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. I think religion can be very good. The Bible casts it in a very positive light. It's when religion is mixed with hypocrisy that it's bad. So we need to make sure that any religious habits and customs we have, which are good to have, and maybe you should think through, what are some things I should do? Maybe I should start wearing something religious or start having some certain prayer times during the day that I develop a habit of praying. Another question is, what about praying? Should I pray word for word the Lord's Prayer? Or should I make it my own prayer and kind of use it as a model? Well, I think both are good. Use that prayer as a model and pray your own prayer. But if you get in the habit of every day saying the Lord's Prayer, I think that would be a great habit. We have evidence that the early Christians took it that way, that they should pray it word for word as a habit to draw your attention to God. So with each of these practices, just make sure that your goal is, I want to draw close to God and love God and keep my focus on God, so I'm going to adopt this habit and custom in my life in order to help me with that purpose. And I believe God will honor that. God will use that to help grow your relationship with him. Well, I hope this has been helpful and that you'll continue to think about this after the program, what you can do as a result of this. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.